I know that I'm not always with you, and you get to hear scripture and read scripture from other places and from other people, and that you aren't always going to hear it through me or from me or by me or what have you. And so I do like to give you folks ways or maybe rules or reminders or warnings, because how we deal or receive scripture, it changes what is being said in scripture. The frame will change what is said and how well we can see something. And indeed, the chunk or the way we chunk out a piece of scripture changes it considerably. And I think I've said that before. Whenever you do read or hear a piece of scripture, notice how it starts, because sometimes where it is starting is not at the start, if you will. And with today's scripture, I get to talk about both of those things. To start with, the scripture that Carol read started with the word therefore. Now, it doesn't take somebody trained in logic and language to know what the word therefore means. It means something was happening beforehand, and what follows is kind of a result of that. All right? So the therefore is really important, because without that therefore, we end up with a little chunk of scripture that says, don't worry, don't do that. And with that word therefore, that should always be a clue to you, a cue to say, I need to know a little bit more. Pick up a Bible, go find where it is and see what's ahead of that so that you know what the therefore is all about. Now, the other thing about scripture that I always will want you to remember and know is that the Bible is a book about faith and for faith. It's not a book of recipes for how to make something. It's not a history. It's not a modern self-help, actualize the best you that you can be book. It's a book about faith, for faith, from people of faith to people of faith. And so if you are reading it and you think that it's all about how to make money, and some people do claim that, it isn't. It's about being faithful. And with those, with that reminder, and with the reminder that the therefore is important, I'm going to go back into this chapter. Carol already told you it is from the Sermon on the Mount. It's the middle portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and there's a lot going on in the Sermon on the Mount. And part of it is this therefore. Here's what comes before the therefore. Jesus talks about practicing your piety. You don't need to have people see you doing that. If what you're doing is trying to be pious, go right ahead and be pious, but don't make it a time to lift up yourself. Same thing with giving alms. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make the point that you're giving alms, that you are giving alms. Let the point of giving alms be that you're faithful and you want to help. All right? Prayer. This is all the same chapter. All right? Prayer. And again, it's don't do it like the hypocrites do, making a big deal on the street corners so that everybody can see that, oh, they pray. Isn't that good? They give alms. They're pious. They pray. Look, just do it in secret. That's, you know, this is not about you and what other people think of you. There is another comment about don't heap up a bunch of praise and words like the Gentiles do, as if God hears it with their many words better. That's still valuable advice today. And then there's this little nugget, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. We're going to come back to that. And then we get the Lord's Prayer, and then a little something about fasting. Guess what he says about fasting? Don't go around looking dismal and hungry so everybody knows that you're fasting. All right. Do you see the theme here? These are good things: piety, almsgiving, prayer, fasting. But don't do it so that people know that you're good. And there's a little tagline that he uses twice, and he uses it here. Truly, I tell you, they already have their reward. Jesus could be a sly guy sometimes. And then it is, don't store up treasures on earth. Things rust there, moths eat it. Store up treasures in heaven where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. You can't serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. All right? So, who's your God? That's where that one is about. Who's your God? Because eventually every master will have something that is going to conflict with another master. And that's always the crux of it. At that point, who is your master? Who is your God? Who do you really look to? And it's right after that that we get that word. Therefore, all right, so piety, almsgiving, prayer, fasting, don't be serving two masters, all of that, and then we get a therefore. All right, all of that is about a life of faith. And so what comes after that, logically, would be about the life of faith as well. And don't worry. Would be the fast and easy way of summing that up. But it's nuanced a little bit. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, how you're going to be. All of those sort of things suggest that you're thinking God doesn't know what you need if you're worried about it. And if you are worried about it, it sort of sounds like, hey, somehow if I store up my treasures on earth, then I won't have to worry about tomorrow. I won't have to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, how I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing. And at that point, you got to ask, who's your master? So this whole therefore scripture that we've chunked out for reading this morning is as much about living a life of faith and being faithful as anything else. And it's too often that we get caught up in these sort of either-or discussions. Something is one thing or it's another thing. That's it. Binary, one or the other, nothing in between, no nuance, no spectrums, no rainbows, black, white. So we end up with the idea that worry is bad. It goes in the same category for me as fear and even guilt. Don't do either of those, any of those. Bad. Don't do it. Just say no. But that's not real. Do you really want your friend, your child, your partner to have no fear as they're walking up to the Dover cliff edge to look down and see what it looks like looking straight down? No, you don't want them to do that. You want them to have a little bit of fear and stay back far enough that you don't have to worry about them dying. Fear is going to be a good thing there, all right? Fear has uses. It's a tool. Guilt has a great value to us. It's suggesting there's something you need to look at. All right? You're feeling guilty. All right? Well, what am I feeling guilty about? Why am I feeling guilty? Is there anything to be guilty about? Sometimes the answer is going to be no. I was sitting there, they tripped over my foot. Not my fault, nothing to do with it. Other times it's like, well, okay, maybe I did think about stretching it as I saw them coming this way. Yeah, I should probably feel guilty about that. And there, as a tool, you can say, all right, I shouldn't have done it. I did it. I feel guilty. I need to apologize. I need to make amends. I need to do what I need to do so I can be forgiven for tripping poor Aunt Murgatroyd. All right? It may have seemed like a good idea at the time, but it wasn't. But guilt at that point is a tool as well, as fear is a tool. Now, with guilt, you remember what Jesus said about fasting? Don't go around looking dismal. We do that with guilt. And in fact, we'll oftentimes think somebody doesn't really feel bad if they don't look stricken with guilt. Well, sometimes they've taken care of and dealt with that guilt. They're forgiven. They're able to move on. So they won't look tortured with guilt. Probably another sermon, sorry. But then we get worried. Worry again is a tool. It causes us to stop and think. All right, so I'm worried about that. Is there anything really to worry about? Well, yes, if I put my foot out to stretch my leg when Aunt Murgatroyd is passing by, I should worry about her tripping and falling and standing up and beating me with her cane. These are things that could happen if I do that. So if I'm worried about that, maybe not do it. I'm worried about any number of things. So is there something to worry? There is. What can I do to take care of it? Let's do that. Is there something to worry about? There is. Let's do something about that. Yeah, there's really nothing you can do about that. Except for maybe prayer. Maybe fasting, maybe giving alms to something worthy that is going to help with that. And in prayer, maybe it's just reminding God that you're worried about this. And there is something there to worry about. But you can't do anything. There's no fix. There's no preparation. There's no supporting. There's nothing along those lines. And you're left with God and worry. And it's at that point you need to remember, God is God. God knows what we need. God knows what we want. And God is going to be with us as we deal with our fears, deal with our guilt, and deal with our worry. So worry isn't, you know, just a black thing that we should avoid and say no to each and every time. It's a little internal early warning system that allows us to consider and reflect, and then maybe do something, one of which might be to stop worrying. But the Bible tells us all of this, not because it's good for us, but because it's a way of being faithful. It's a way of remembering that God is good all the time, and that God is with us all the time, and that God is working with us to bring about good in all situations. And if we, you know, worry a little bit about something as a way of figuring out what we need to do, that just seems good, especially if we include God in what we do. So don't worry about tomorrow unless there's something you need to do about it. Don't worry about today unless there's something you can do about it. But in all things, the Lord your God is with you, walking with you, helping you, supporting you, laughing with you, and is always looking to make sure that all things will come out well in the end. And if they're not well now, it's not the end. Trust God. In some ways, that's more of what Do Not Worry is trying to tell us than anything else. It's a question of faith. Trust God. And I invite you to live your life as if you are forgiven, as if there is plenty to fear, but not ultimately, and that there is things to worry about, but that you can trust God. And in that, there is peace. Amen.